Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Let's get into the Word today. Just for a few moments, I'd like to continue our series that we've been talking about, which is Because of the Times. And so we've been looking at times, meaning, first of all, the times that we're living in, the condition of the earth because of, there again, the effects of sin. Secondly, the times, meaning the time, meaning the length or the duration of our life, which the Bible says is very short in comparison to eternity. And yet, the Bible says that what's done in the earth during this minute period of time is going to affect eternity. That's why we want to make sure that we do all that we can in the time that we're here to push back the effects of sin in the earth. Amen? Amen. To make a difference. To overcome evil with good, to overcome darkness with light, to overcome poverty and lack with sufficiency and supply. That's what God's called us to do. Can you say amen? To stand up, to be the ones who doesn't mind getting down in the ditch and get just a little bit dirty, but to help people to find life in Christ. Secondly, we talked about stepping up in our devotion. Because of the times, we need to step up in our devotion. There again, devotion meaning being passionately engaged in an activity or in someone. You can know what somebody is devoted to by following. We talked about the paper trail in their lives. In other words, you'll see what they're devoted to by looking at what gets the most of them. Whether it's their time, their patience, their grace, their resource, whatever it happens to be, you're going to know what people are devoted to by what they give themselves to. And so what we want to do is we want to devote ourselves to what God tells us to, especially in the times that we're living in. In the days that we're living in, we want to make sure that we're devoted to Christ. And so the Lord is directing Peter in this matter. There again, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and he says in verse 7, look at what he says. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. In other words, because of the times, he says, this is what we need to do. Be self-controlled and be sober-minded for prayer. And so this is what we looked at last week, stepping up our devotion in prayer. We looked at what prayer was, which is simply communicating to God. We looked at the different types of prayer, and we looked at how we should pray in line with God and His will. We should be honest in our prayers and not try to put on this facade, because God knows. Just be honest with Him and lay it all out. But we need to step up our devotion in prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so today we're going to focus on verses 8 and 9. The Bible says this, above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love covers a multitude of sins. And be hospitable one to another without grumbling. So Peter is saying to you and to me, he said, because of the times that we're living in, there again, because of the condition of things in the earth, as well as the time that we're here is limited, and yet God is asking us to step up and to make a difference. He said, because of that, what we need to do is we need to step up our devotion in love. Now, Peter uses some pretty specific terms that we can't ignore simply because they'll help us to understand what he's talking about when he's talking about stepping up our love. And so we're going to use these to kind of lay our foundation. Then we're going to look at some practical applications to love. Amen. So he says, above all things, have fervent love. So let's start first of all with love. He says, now we know that love has lots of different meanings. I can say in conversation that I love ice cream. But then in that very same conversation, I can say, make this statement, that I love Jill. Now, I've used the same word in the same conversation, but here's the deal. I love ice cream, but not like I love my wife. Same word, different meaning. different level of intensity. You see what I'm talking about? And so this love that Peter is talking about here, he's talking about this love as it's a brotherly kind of love. It's an affection one towards another. It's goodwill towards a person. It's a benevolent type of love. In other words, a kind, it's a giving, it's a generous type of love for people, for things, and so on, to those that are in need. And he says, this is how we are to love. But he doesn't stop there, because he adds this word, fervent. Now, when you think of fervent, I think of something that's more intense. I mean, we've had, quite a while back, Kelly bought us one of those little fire pit things. And so we've been sitting around it in the wintertime, and we've been sitting around it in the summertime. Now, though the temperature probably is the same, it feels much more fervent in the summertime because it's 100 degrees outside. But she bought this and we enjoy it. And so we're going to sit there and sweat, you know what I mean? And we're going to breathe that smoke in, and we're going to have a good time, doggone it. But it's a much more fervent heat. It seems to be much more intense. But what's interesting is that this word's origin means to be stretched out. Now, let's just say, now I'm going to put these three chairs out here. Let's just say for the fun of it that my assignment is you. Now, we've had a lot of rain last few weeks, right? I mean, a ton of rain. And so let's just pretend, let's use our imaginations. Say that my assignment is to cover these chairs because it's going to rain. We don't want to get these chairs wet at all. So that's my assignment. So what do? So I go to the store and I get a tarp, right? And so I got this tarp. And so I come home. Jill says, what are you doing? Well, I got to cover this because it's going to rain. And so I get that tarp and I put that tarp right there. Now tell me something. I'm covering with the tarp, but it's not fully covering. Now, what's my assignment? My assignment is to make sure that the chairs don't get wet. Now, what I'd like for you guys to do, if you would, is just to kind of start stretching this tarp all the way out. And so the assignment there again is to cover these three chairs. Now, the tarp is all there, but it's only covering a certain portion because it's not fully stretched out. Look at the difference between the tarp originally and the tarp now as it's fully stretched out. Go ahead and cover that all over. You're missing back here. It's going to rain, fellas. Now, don't miss nothing. Now, fully stretch that out. I want it fully stretched out. There you go. Now, look at the difference between a tarp that's folded up or just a portion of it is being used versus a tarp that is fully stretched out. What happens? The difference when it's fully stretched out is that it fulfills the assignment. In the very same way, this is how we're to love, not just to satisfy our own conscience, but we're to be fully stretched out, maximum capacity. I want you to think about that for just a moment. The love that we are to show, fervent love, is love that is at maximum capacity. It's maximum potential. It's all in. You see, fervent love is a type of love that goes above and beyond. It goes the second mile. Have you ever had a friend that has gone the second mile with you? And how powerful is that? To have someone that walks with you the second mile. That's what fervent love does. Fervent love doesn't have to be bribed. It doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be persuaded, because it's all in. So what does this fervent love that he's talking about look like? Let's look at some of the practical applications of this type of love. He said, first of all, fervent love prefers. Look at verse 8. He says, have fervent love one for another. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking specifically about the family of God. Now, it's not that we don't love people outside of the family of God, because we're called to love them. I mean, we're called to minister to those outside of the family of God. There's no question about that. But here's the deal. There's a love that you show your natural family that's at a different intensity than you show everyone else that's outside of your family. Now, there's going to be certain expressions of that love that's going to be shown to both, but there's without question a different intensity. There's a different intimacy, if you will. There's a different depth of the love that you show to your natural family versus outside of your natural family. Now, there again, as with anything, there's going to be some exceptions to the rule. And I understand that, and that's okay. But I think you understand where I'm going with this, that you show a more intense type of love for your family than you would necessarily show to those outside of your family. And so in the very same way, there again, when we're talking about fervent love one for another in the family of God, there's going to be love that's going to be expressed inside the family of God that's not necessarily going to be expressed in the same way outside of the family of God. Same thing in the house of God. The love that we have for the family of God is going to be expressed in a deeper way. And there's several reasons why, but I want to just give you just two quick ones to help us maybe to lock in a little bit deeper, because I sense that you're still kind of pondering that. And that's okay. That's good. That's okay. But I think one of the reasons that we are to have fervent love one for another is so that there'll be no lack in the family of God. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says this: you must decide in your heart how much to give. Now, notice that he's not saying if you should give. It's a matter of what our part individually that we're going to give. He says, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. We don't do that around here. We don't pressure anybody to give. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Notice what happens when we do that, when we decide in our heart what our part is, and then we give that cheerfully. Look at what happens. He says in verse 8, then God will generously provide all that you need. And then look at what he says. And then you'll always, not just when we wish we could, but he says we'll always have everything that we need. And then check this out. Plenty left over to share with others. Now that's God's will. How many are living there? I think there's some of us that may not necessarily be quite there yet, and we're striving there. Ask the Holy Spirit what this means. Ask Him to give you wisdom in your particular circumstance if you're not having enough to give into every good thing. Because that is God's will, and maybe He's working with you. You're getting there. There's some things. The Bible says that it's God who gives us the ability to gain wealth. He gives us the ability. He doesn't drop out of heaven, but He gives us the ability so that the things that we do with our hands will be blessed. I mean, if you sleep in till noon every day and you're not out, you know, beating the bushes, then you're not giving anything for God to bless. But God will generously give to who? To His children. What are we talking about? Fervent love. We're not talking about being a respecter of persons, because we're not supposed to be. But look at the context of what He's saying. He says that in the family of God, God's will is for us to have no lack. And He tells us how that is to be accomplished. And so that's one reason that we are to have fervent love for one another. Secondly, I believe that we're to have fervent love for the family of God is for the sake of the gospel. Listen to this. Jesus is talking, and He's talking about the times that you and I are living in right now. And He says this, Matthew 24 and 12, the love of most will grow cold. And unfortunately, we live in a world today and we're seeing that happen. I mean, all the way from the family unit, all the way up to nations are fighting against each other. How many work sometimes and your work is a hostile environment at times? Why? Because the love of many is growing cold in the earth today. Amen. That's just the reality that we live in. And more so because Christ is soon to return. And so things are ramping up. And so we have to be aware of this. People turning against each other. But notice what Jesus says. He says this. He says, but your love one for another. There again, He's talking specifically to the family of God. And He says that the love that we show for each other will prove to the world that we are His disciples. So in the times that we're living in, the love that we show one for another will distinguish us from the fakers. They'll distinguish us from the users, from the manipulators. It will distinguish us from the greedy, from the I don't care crowd, from the it's all about me crowd. It'll distinguish us in such a way that it will draw people to God and will give us the honor of bringing them to life in Christ. Fervent love. So Peter goes on to say this. He says that fervent love will cover a multitude of sins. Fervent love protects. Now stop just for a minute. Imagine a family that never gossips. I mean, nobody in that family gossips at all. There's no tattletales in the bunch. No blabbermouths. You know what a blabbermouth is? Okay, just checking. Imagine a family that's sticky. I mean, they don't run when trouble comes, but they're there. No matter what, they stick by the stuff. I mean, they stay with each other through the wrong until it becomes right. They stay with each other. They stick with each other through the storm, side by side, arm in arm, until the storm passes and peace returns. I mean, imagine if you can, a family that's stable. They don't cheat on each other. There's no lack in that house. There's food on the table, clothes in the closet. There's provision enough for everybody. Stable. When I was growing up, I never had to worry if we was going to have supper tonight. I didn't have to worry if I was going to come home and have to hide because Dad was going to come home and beat on Mom or was out running somewhere. Now, that's in the earth today, and I get that. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about a family that's stable. I never had to deal with any of those things. And I am extremely grateful, especially the older I get, and I see the damage done by the effects of sin in the earth and what it does to people who grew up in that. And now they're adults fully on their own, fully making a living. And they have families on their own. And yet they struggle with those same things that happened when they were kids. Imagine a family that doesn't have those types of issues, but their home is a safe place where their creed is do no harm. I believe that fervent love will create a family just like that. Because the Bible says fervent love forgives and then it disregards offenses. Now, there again, don't misunderstand the meaning, because it's not that we're going to be just a bunch of pushovers and we're just going to let everything happen. Anyway, it's just a free-for-all. No, we're going to hold each other accountable, because there again, that's what family does. That's part of protecting each other, is holding each other accountable. So yes, there's going to be accountability, but we do so with the purpose of helping each other get there. Now, where am I talking about? Our mission as a church, the reason we exist, is found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. And it says this, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us, because we want to present them to God perfect, or in other words, complete, nothing lacking in their relationship with Christ. That's where we want to get people. To where there's nothing lacking in their relationship with Christ, but they're growing and they're maturing in Christ. They're in the family of God and they're fulfilling what God's called them to do. And so I realize that, yes, we're not a perfect family, but because we have fervent love one for another, our imperfections, the bumps in the roads, sometimes we don't have the faith that we should. Even sometimes we fail. And I'm going to call it what it is, sin. It's not a mistake. Sin is not a mistake. Don't label sin a mistake, because when you label something, when you mislabel something, then it's not treated as it should. If you go and you rip off the tag off the bottle of Tylenol and you put it on a bottle of barbiturates, and someone who just has a headache, they misread the label. So what happens? They treat the problem with the wrong thing. That's what happens when we label stuff wrong. We got a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not judging or condemning anybody, but the reality of it is when we call sin a mistake, it's not going to be dealt with appropriately. It's not going to have the intensity that God originally called it, because he called it sin. What does sin do? Separates us from God. That's more than a mistake. And so, but in spite of our imperfections, even the sin sometimes that we fall into, doesn't change our mind about one another. We don't look at each other differently when our humanity is exposed and we fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't change. Why? Because we want to help each other get there. And so in spite of those things, we still love fervently. We still cover. We still protect. I think it would be safe to say that most everybody that we know would want to join a family like that. I mean, if they saw a family like that and they saw a sign that says, come on, we got room for you, I don't think they'd have much of a problem walking in and joining a family like that. Which takes us to our next point. Because of the times that we're living in, we need fervent love, because fervent love provides. It prefers and it protects, but also love provides. Peter said in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. A lot of times when we think of hospitality, we think of entertaining someone. You know, kind of having dinner with them, maybe going out to a movie or something or whatever. And all that's fine and has its place and we should do. I'm not knocking that at all. But what Peter is talking about is something different. It's something deeper. There again, we're talking about a different level of intensity of providing one for another. He's talking about receiving someone into our home and actively caring for them and for their needs, so that they can gain rest, refreshment, and health. As a matter of fact, did you know that hospitality comes from the same root word as hospital? Why do people go to a hospital? To get better. That's the picture that is being portrayed here for us to be able to see and then to align ourselves with it to the point to where we step up in our devotion of love. To where we go beyond this idea of surface or entertaining. There again, I'm not kicking that at all because there again, we should. But what I'm saying is we need to step up our devotion and love one towards another. And in this idea of hospitality, meaning that our times together should be more frequent, but they should also be more meaningful. And that only happens with fervent love. When we purpose in our hearts to go beyond the surface and to get down into the muck and the mire of each other's lives and actually care enough to be able to say, yes, I'll stand with you with the intent to refresh you and to help you to come back to health, to help you through those times, those difficult times. I am with you. See, this is what fervent love does. It cares for someone above our own convenience. It cares for someone regardless of the cost. Aren't you glad that God loved us beyond the cost, beyond the convenience? Fervent love cares for someone through the crisis to the cure. Sometimes that's a prayer in the midst of a circumstance and things begin to lift. And sometimes that's a year. Sometimes that's a lifetime. It's a process that the family of God should commit one to another because of fervent love. Amen. Because of the times that we're living in, this is the kind of love that the world needs to see in our family. Is it convenient? Not all the time. Is it going to cost us something? Every time. Is it worth it? All the time. Whether we see the results that we believe should happen or not, you'll never go wrong by investing love in the family of God. Seed sown is not overlooked by the creator of all the universe. He keeps good books. Amen. Every tear that is sown, every prayer that is prayed, it's kept close to the heart of the Father. Are we going to have hard times? Yes. There's going to be difficulties, but fervent love will get us through. That's the point. So I want to close today asking you to take to heart these words found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. I want, if you can, commit them to memory, maybe this week, just kind of study it a little bit and ask the Lord, what would you have me to understand from this portion of Scripture? Romans 12, 13, this is what Paul is saying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality, fervent love, an intensity that maybe we haven't experienced in a while in our own lives. And you say, well, if they would only love me this way, how about this? How about instead of waiting for someone to love you that way, how about you step up in this moment, even in your hurt and even in your brokenness, even in the midst of your storm, like Jesus did hanging on the cross when he could have told everybody to take a flying leap. And yet the thief to his side said, remember me. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah. How about us, even in our brokenness, step up in just a little bit and say, Lord, help me in my intensity, in my devotion, in love to my family. Talking about my church family. And where does it start? I believe it can start right here.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.